At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
You can exhale now because track 28 is Stop Breathing. Amir, what are your initial thoughts about this song?
I love this song. It appears in my top 20 that I sent you. I think it's number 14 there, so it's half of your number.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown featuring seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and some fucker named Gene. How will your favorite song fare in the ratings? Well, you'll have to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Steven. Steven, how the fuck are you?
I'm very good, JD. How are you?
I'm doing quite stellar, in fact. it's a good day to be breathing and upright, you know?
It is. It is. Spring's in the air. Winter's gone. Things are looking up.
Funny enough, it's snowing here today. We've passed spring. We didn't get any snow at all. And then, you know, it turns into spring and all of a sudden we've got snow. So, you know, who can fucking tell?
Thanks for having me on. It's we said before, just before we started, I've been listening to the whole countdown so far, and yeah, it's been great. It's a nice little pick-me-up on the Monday morning when it drops, and it's a good feeling to think that, there's going to be one a week for the whole year, pretty much. So, I've been really enjoying it, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot. So let's make this about you now, and let's get right into your Pavement origin story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm 42 now, and I got into Pavement when I was about sort of 15, 16. So it was basically when Terror Twilight came out. When I was a teenager, I was really into Radiohead at the time. I mean, I still am, but they were my band at the moment. So I was obsessively into everything that they did, and I would read all the interviews and get every release and bootleg and EP and thing that came out from that band. And I remember I was on holiday once, and I picked up a music magazine in the airport on the way over, and there was a big article in there about Pavement and the Terror Twilight release, and I'd kind of heard of them a little bit. I kind of knew off them, but it was always, but they were always sort of mentioned in the same breath as The Fall and John Peel and things like that. And so, in my mind, I kind of built them up as a kind of scary, alternative, loud, punky, I don't know, abrasive sort of band that was sort of unlistenable. I kind of remember at the time, also around that time in the 90s, Blur brought out their self-titled album, the one that has song 2 on.
Right.
Graham Coxon was going around on the interview circuit and saying, oh yeah, this album's influenced by, you know, really, really hard, unlistenable American bands like Pavement. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So this, in my head, I'd kind of built them up as something a bit difficult. And then I read this, saw this article in this music magazine. It must have been Q magazine or NME or something. And they just came across like a really nice bunch of guys. And I thought, right, when I get back from holiday, I'm going to buy that record. It sounds really good. Also, the other thing was that the main draw at that time was the Radiohead
Godrich.
Sort of connection. Godrich, yeah. So Nigel Godrich produced it. They had Johnny Greenwood playing harmonica for some reason on Platform Blues and on Billy. And so I bought the album purely on that sort of thought, really. I'd never heard any of their songs, didn't know anything about them. And I remember getting home, putting the CD on, and the first song is Spit on the Stranger. So that was the first Pavement song I'd ever heard.
Wow.
And it's got such a lovely, warm introduction and those sort of synth pops and the sort of, and the vocal and the melody. I thought, wow, this is great. This isn't what I was expecting at all. I was expecting something really hard and, you know, almost the kind of stuff that you hear on Westing, you know?
Yes, yes.
And so, I loved it. I got really into that album. I loved every track on it, really. Especially Carrot Rope. Loved Carrot Rope. I don't quite get the kind of the sort of online hate that song gets. I think that's a great song. But from Terra Twilight, I then kind of worked backwards and picked up all the CDs in kind of reverse order. I got, I think, Bright in the Corners next. And then kind of worked backwards, Crooked Rain. Wowie Zowie was hard to find, I think, in those days. I couldn't find it, so it took me about a year or so to track that CD down.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I think it was in the 90s, it was kind of like, you know, the internet wasn't so prominent. You almost didn't know what a band's back catalogue was. You had to kind of track it down and search it out in record stores and read about them in magazines. And for whatever reason, that record was hard to track down. But by the time I went to university, I think I had all the albums. But then unfortunately they broke up.
Yeah.
So I kind of missed the boat on the sort of original incarnation. But then the SM debut came out, which is absolutely, that is my absolute favorite album by anybody of
it's
all time.
Really fucking good.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, I still listen to that album now. Like it's what was it, 24 years old? Is it 23 years old or something? We speak, and
pretty close.
I listened to it last week. You know, I still get something from that album.
Me too. I listened to it for like 3 days in a row two weeks ago. Listened to it for like 3 days in a row, just straight.
It's still got it, hasn't it? Every song on there is fantastic. The sort of guitar work, the melody. It's just, and I think sometimes with, it's quite a poppy immediate album.
Yeah.
And sometimes those sorts of albums don't really have the longevity. But for whatever reason, this one does. It's really got a lot going on. So from 2001 onwards, I kind of picked up all the Malkmus solo stuff as it came out. But none of them really grabbed me like the debut did. Up until Traditional Techniques. Yeah, that's another one that's really got under my skin, that album. It's a great one. I think it came out just at the beginning of lockdown.
Yeah, it was 2019.
And it might be something to do with that, you know, sort of being trapped in the house with this new record. And I listened to it every day for a long time over lockdown. But that's a really good one as well. Yeah. And it was around that sort of time that found your podcast
So, oh wow.
It was kind of the Traditional Techniques album that made me kind of think, oh, I need to get a bit more into revisiting some of the other Malkmus stuff that I've not really got into the first time round. And I found your podcast and the Malkmus Conundrum podcast.
Yes.
The other guys did. Yeah.
That was great.
So That period, that lockdown period for me is kind of synonymous with you know, listening to a lot of Pavement podcasts, listening to Traditional Techniques, and sort of going back and re-exploring some of the other Malkmus solo stuff. But yeah, so yeah, I didn't catch them live. Well, I saw Malmsteen solo a few times when he was touring the first album at festivals and little venues, and that was really cool.
Here's one for you. I saw Radiohead.
Oh yeah.
And opening for Radiohead was SM and the Jicks.
Oh really? What year?
Yeah,
was that?
That was Hail to the Thief when they were touring for Hail to the Thief.
Yeah, 2004, something like that. Oh,
yeah,
that'd be cool.
That's about right. Yeah.
So they were doing Real Emotional Trash or something at that time? What were the Jicks doing?
Whatever came after Pig Lib.
Pig Lib. Okay, cool. Yeah.
No, the one after Pig Lib. Shit, I can't think of what it was. Face the Truth?
I've got it up here somewhere. Face the Truth?
Or Real Emotional Trash, one of those two.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So, did you get a chance to see Pavement live ever?
I did. Well, when they regrouped in 2010, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
And they did a series of shows down in London, and it was the week I was getting married.
Tough to escape that.
So I didn't go, but I thought about it. It was almost like, you know, travel down to London, come back, get married the next day. And I thought, no, that's not going to work. So I'll skip that.
Good,
but then I thought,
that's wise.
But then I caught them on the most recent tour, and that tour was fantastic. That really, you know, I was completely obsessed with that tour.
It was so good. So where did you see them? Manchester?
I saw them in Leeds and Manchester. And then the following year, they played a little one-off festival in the UK called Blue Dot, and they were headlining.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was really cool. You got to some of the UK gigs, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw every stop except for Leeds.
That's a shame. Yeah. Yeah. So you're at Manchester?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. that was a good one.
I thought so too.
Yeah, that I remember on that one they opened with Major Leagues, didn't they?
That's
which
right.
I think which is a bit I always think that's a bit of an odd intro song. It doesn't really get things going in the same way.
It sort of set the mood for the night. Like it was a more mellow show for sure.
Definitely. It's
but still great.
Still a great song, yeah. But yeah, no, but then, so the funny thing about the Leeds gig was I went with my brother and we went for some food beforehand and a couple of drinks, and we're in this Indian restaurant, and the waiter comes over and says, oh, you guys going to the Pavement gig later? Because he must have seen our t-shirts and things like that. Well, like, oh yeah, and he goes, oh, the band ate next door just, you know, an hour ago. So there was another slightly more upper class Indian restaurant next door. And he's like, oh no, they just ate there recently. I said, oh God. And so I was like really, really buzzing from that. I was like, oh yeah, we've eaten in the restaurant next to the one that Pavement ate in. So we finished up there and we're walking up to the venue, and the doors opened I think at 7, and it was probably about, you know, one or 2 minutes to 7 o'clock. And we're walking up through the town centre, and as we're walking, we kind of notice that we're kind of walking in step with this other group that are kind of walking in at the same speed and in the same direction. You know, it's a bit awkward when you're kind of trying to overtake each other. And I thought, hang on, they've got they sound like American accents. And so I look over, and it's Bob and Spiral walking up to the venue.
Get out!
And like, bear in mind that the doors are just about to open, so they're just like strolling up through the city centre like they've got all the time in the world.
Jeez.
And I was like, I don't normally do this, but I'll have to hang, I've got to say something, you know. And I'd had a couple of pints by this point, so I was feeling a bit more confident. But so I, as we got to the traffic lights, I stopped them and said, oh, sorry guys, you know, just got to say hello, you know, big fan. And they were really, really nice guys. Just stopped, and we sort of stood there by the road and chatted for about 5 minutes or so. And you know, they were in no rush at all to get to the venue or start the gig or anything like that. So it was really, really nice. really nice guys. And from that point, yeah, it was just a great gig.
Oh, that's so fun that you got to meet them. They're so gracious, right?
Yeah, no, really, really good guys. And just chatting like it was nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Asking where we were from and, you know, they were talking about how they'd played at the same venue as Sonic Youth, like back in the 90s and, you know, and just stuff like that. Just really, yeah, just really nice little moment. And then managed to meet them the second time at the Blue Dot Festival the year after.
Wow.
Because I don't think this was really, it wasn't really picked up online that much, but at the first sort of event of the day at the festival was, it was on the poster described as a listening party. And I thought, a listening party with Pavement. And it was a sort of event curated by Tim Burgess from the Charlatans.
Okay.
He does these sort of online listening parties where he plays an album and people listen along live and, you know, that sort of thing. And so I thought, okay, that's probably just, you know, in a tent somewhere, they're probably playing a Pavement album and maybe talking about it on stage, that sort of thing. So I thought, well, I'll head over to that before we go and see any bands. And so I head over to this tent, turn the corner, and it's the entire band are on in this tent, up on this little stage, and there's probably about, I don't know, maybe 200 people on sort of chairs. It's like a sort of wedding tent, you know, like chairs. Don't worry. And they're playing Wowie Zowie through the speakers, and they've got this interviewer on stage, and she's just talking to them about the album as they play it through, like track by track. And, you know, so you got like a sort of track by track rundown of every
song
of Wowie Zowie. It's so surreal to sort of turn the corner, step into this tent, and, you know, Mount Mercer and the rest of them are all on stage, and they're doing that kind of track by track, blow by blow rundown of every song on Wowie Zowie.
Jesus.
And I was just like, I wish I had a bit of paper to write some of this stuff down or to remember what they're saying, because it was really good. Really good sort of
director's commentary
stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, those sort of on TV here, on say, like, you know, on like a Friday night, we might get a sort of behind the scenes documentary on some 80s band or something, and they're sitting at the mixing desk and they're talking about how they recorded this album years ago. And it was like that, but for a band you actually like, and for an album an album you're actually really invested in. So that was really cool.
So what's your go-to record these days?
These days I would say it's Wowie Zowie.
Yeah.
Because I think it's got the most variety.
Sure does.
It's probably like the best single. If you were to sort of say what if you were to give one record to somebody and say this is what Pavement's like, I would say it's Wowie Zowie, because it's got the louder stuff, the quieter stuff. It's really eclectic. When I was younger, it was Crooked Rain that was always the one that I would go to, but I think now it's Wowie Zowie.
Huh. Well, what do you think there, Steven? Should we flip the record and talk about song number 27?
Let's do it, yeah.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
27.
Capistana, swallow, answer to your inner voice, and please return. God installed that radar in your pointy little beak so you'd return. Epileptic surgeons with their eyes X'd out attend to the torn up kid. Thank you.
It's the fourth song from Terror Twilight on the countdown. Song number 27 is the fantastic The Hex. Steven, what are your initial thoughts about this song, The Hex?
The Hex. Well, it's a really cool song. I think it's completely different to anything else that Pavement does. I think it's very unique. It's got a style which isn't really there on any. I can't think of any other song that's like it. It's kind of slow, kind of lurching, atmospheric. It's got a kind of, it's almost a kind of proggy kind of vibe. But yeah, no, it's really cool. I love the guitar solo. It's absolutely brilliant.
Did they play it at any of the live shows you went to?
They did at Blue Dot. Yeah, I was, they didn't at Leeds or Manchester, and I was really hoping they would. And they played it at the last one. So I was really happy with that.
They really open it up live, don't they?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, really cool song live. It's one of those kind of jammy songs, you know. You can tell it's come from a band session rather than something that's been kind of written in advance. And in fact, you've got there's that other version of it, isn't there?
And then The Hex.
On the B side, and that's, I think that was part of the Brighton the Corners sessions.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that version is pretty cool as well, but that's much more, it hasn't really got that kind of haunting sort of vibe to it. It's more kind of crunchy and rocky. It kind of, I don't think it really emphasizes that sort of guitar line so much. It's more straight into the kind of chorus and then like Malkmus is doing the kind of scatting, yelling bit over the top. It's quite a cool version.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see how that kind of rocky jam that they started with sort of evolved into this kind of more atmospheric, proggy song. And I'd imagine quite a lot of that is probably down to Nigel Godrich.
I bet you're right. Because it's really dense as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, whereas a lot of Pavement songs tend to be sparse production-wise, the whole Terror Twilight is so rich and atmospheric.
Yeah.
This song is a great example of that.
Definitely. It's almost kind of claustrophobic. It's kind of swirl, you know, it's you can kind of get lost in it. It's a really cool song. In fact, yeah, on the Nigel Godrich sequence, I think he puts it at number 2. So he thinks it's like, you know, should be up there at the beginning. I do think it works a bit better at the end as a, you know, as a sort of finale rather than putting it right up there at the beginning.
Yeah, I like the sequence that they put together for Terror Twilight. I think I like it a little bit better than the Godrich sequence, but it's cool that we have both.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how, like,
the record.
It does. It's funny how a sequence can change the feel of something.
Yeah.
But the like I was saying before, Spit on a Stranger is just a perfect opening for an album. I think it's spot on to put that at the beginning. Yeah. But to start off with The Hex is pretty dense. It's pretty really cool.
So do you have a handle on what this song is about?
Well, I was having a think, and yeah, I mean, I've been listening to this song a lot over the past few weeks in preparation and trying to get a sense of what's going on. But to me, it feels in some ways, it's a bit Radiohead-y, because I think it's kind of a bit about existence and alienation and feeling sort of lost. And like some of the lyrics, he's talking about, you know, sort of being reeling around the parking lot, being lost in life and not knowing where you're going. There's some great stuff in the lyrics. That line about the epileptic surgeons with their eyes X'd out. You know, it's pretty creepy stuff. You know, attending to the torn up kid. So you can kind of imagine this sort of, you know, you can kind of read that as someone who's sort of physically broken, or someone who's maybe emotionally torn up, like, you know, life has just got too heavy and
right,
broken them down, and you've got these sort of zombie twitching surgeons attending to, you know, attending to this kid. So pretty sort of nightmarish kind of stuff. I love that line about the secondary stumbles because the cadence of the count has led him astray. I just love the sort of syncopation of that line. It's brilliant. And then you've got the sort of section about the architecture students, which is fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah, that's got to be one of his best lines, definitely. It's really funny. And it kind of, he has these lines like the bit about, you know, the architecture students with the itch they can't scratch, and you know, the surgeons in the second verse, and songs like Grounded, where he's sort of taking a pot at doctors, and it seems like he's got this kind of, he likes to sort of take the you know, pot shots at the professional classes. I think he's, you know, he's there from the sort of creative side, the artistic side, and he's looking at the people that are kind of dedicating their lives to these sort of, you know, to these professional and technical endeavors, and he's sort of, you know, taking little pot shots at that. I think that's great.
I like that. That's good.
But yeah, it's kind of. It reminds me of a lot of like a Radiohead song, something from OK Computer or something, where it's talking about the state of the world and alienation and being lost and these sort of little nightmarish vignettes here and there. Really good, really good stuff. The line about the swallow at the beginning is pretty cool as well. I mean,
I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's him kind of in some ways kind of showing off a little bit about some, you know, his knowledge about migratory birds, which, you know, you can see that. So it's quite humorous on that side, but also I think it's kind of talking about, the line is, swallow, answer to your inner voice and please return. God installed that radar in your pointy little beak, so please return. So it's kind of like, it's a bit, you know, you could see it one way. It's about nature, about migratory birds, or you could see that it's something to do with kind of like destiny and fate. You know, these creatures are kind of, you know, they're drawn back. They've got no sort of free will, and you can maybe see it like perhaps it's kind of maybe like a broken relationship, and he's, you know, his partner's, you know, broken up with him and gone off, and, you know, he knows they'll come back because they're drawn back with this sort of instinct, this kind of fate. You know, you can't escape this kind of instinct that's within you.
This is good.
Yeah. So it's all, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there like that, which is, I think different to your average Pavement song. It's a lot more downbeat, a lot darker, a lot sort of, a lot more sort of oppressive, and that together with the whole sort of rhythm of the thing and the kind of sort of lurching piano guitar line that sort of just, you know, that sort of those sort of bass notes and then sort of dun, 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 that sort of descending guitar part all the way down. Really cool stuff.
Nice stab on the SM lyrics though, because for real, he's really tough to nail down, right? Like it's really tough to figure out what he's saying because it does change so much. It is like phraseology in a sense, you know, like just throwing out neat syncopatic phrases and bits of thoughts and bits of ideas, and then you get this structure, you know. Very cool.
Definitely. It's more about the kind of image, you know. It's kind of poetry in that sense, isn't it? Because it's more about the image it creates in your head than anything literal, you know?
Yeah. How do you feel about the ranking of this song? So is it properly ranked? Is it 27? Is it 27. Should it be higher? Should it be lower?
Yeah, I mean, not wanting to question the abacus, but I think it could be higher. I think I was just looking at my submission to you, and I think I had it at 13.
That sounds more about right, like just outside of the top 10.
You know? I think it's one of the greats, definitely. I mean, it's different. I can understand why it's lower, because I don't think it's a pavement song in that sense. I think it's more of a, it's not really representative of what they do. It's quite unique. It's more
of a kind of... It also shows you that Terror Twilight just doesn't have the same love that, you know, that other pavement records have. You know, like people, like some of the songs are held back because, you know, a lot of people have Terror Twilight as number 5. The rest of the records are interchangeable. You know, like, oh, I have Slanted at number 1. Oh, I have Crooked at number 1. Oh, I have Wowie Zowie at number 1. But most people have Terror Twilight around 5, it seems.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. And I think maybe because this was the first record that I got, you don't come to it with all that sort of baggage, really.
That's right.
You can kind of see it as an isolated record rather than in the context of everything else. But no, I think it needs to be higher just for the guitar solo alone. It's like it's so good. It's almost kind of a bit Pink Floyd-y, a bit kind of proggy. It's probably like the cleanest guitar solo that he does, really. Like most of the guitar stuff that he does is kind of, you know, sort of intentionally sloppy and
jagged,
you know, distorted, hitting these off key notes on purpose, and you know, like the solo on Finn, which is another absolutely fantastic solo, but that's all like, you know, that's completely all over the place, you know, in a really good way, but
in a great way. Yeah.
Whereas this solo is much more tightly controlled and sort of almost like classic rock, you know, it's really nice.
Interesting. Classic rock. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. I could see it on the, you know, Dark Side of the Moon or something like that.
Yeah.
I
was just listening to Dark Side.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Before we got on the call. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's been great having you on to talk about your origin story and the Hex. Is there anything that you want to plug or anything like that?
No, not really. No, I don't really have much internet presence or produce anything creative. So, no.
Well, that's cool. Really, that's cool, nevertheless.
No.
I really appreciate your time, and I thank you so much for doing this.
No worries. No, it's been a lot of fun. I was looking forward to this for a long time, and you know, like I said, I've been enjoying the countdown so far, and looking forward to seeing what comes up at the top.
I'll never tell.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell in December, but
yeah.
All right, Stephen. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Watch your goddamn hands.
Buddy.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks, as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com. Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.